check my inbox and what do I see? Just another day, another T-R-A-D-E. I'm an addict, and I need it in my veins. I'm an addict, otherwise I feel plain now. Every day I wake up, people got a problem. Making all these trades up, got me singing got em. But I've been paid up, I even started from the bottom. See, I don't wait up, I ain't even playing possum. So what it cost, I'm just a couple of firsts. Can't believe that it worked, not to say I'm a jerk. But I'm an addict, it's what I said in the first. You can curse all you want, you can pray in your church. But I'ma keep tapping return, I went up, I learned. I ain't trying to burn any bridges, I yearn. For the feeling I earn, all my winnings to turn. You had a cheek before I drop you like the beat. I'm an addict, and I'm not really ashamed. I'm an addict, I'm reclining with the brain. I'm an addict, and the pot is what I'm playing. I'm an addict,
Russin Rocky.
Other names, Trade Addicts Pod. Let's go.
I am Frank in the chat, and I have a trading problem.
I am Rocky Petrella, and I also have a trading problem.
I'm Wyatt, and I have a manageable trading problem.
It's okay. We'll get you there. What's up, everybody? Welcome to session 408 of the TradeX podcast, where even though the network went away, DAP's always here to stay. Nice job, Rocky, last week, by the way. And Thank you. Today we have a first-time guest, Wyatt Bertoloni, Wyatt B. It's been – Wyatt and I have been talking for about a year, and we finally got to – get you on because he records his shows on Tuesdays, so we can't ever align. But what better day than Free Agency Monday to do that? So Wyatt, how are you?
Fantastic. It's hard to be having a bad day on Free Agency Tampering Day.
Absolutely. It's one of those top five days, I feel like, to cover fantasy football. It's like you're always talking about something. So
For sure.
Before we get started, why don't you tell everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do?
I'm Wyatt Bertoloni. I make fantasy content on the side. you can follow me on Twitter at WyattB_FF. I do a lot of content for Player Profiler right now. I'm on two shows there. I host Press Coverage, and also we just started up First Class Fantasy over there that I'm doing with Pete Nova. I read some articles over there. I also write for DLF, and I do some occasional writing for Fantasy Alarm as well. So a lot of fantasy stuff.
Just a couple of things.
Yeah.
We always have a little interview for our first-time guest. So how long have you been playing fantasy for?
I've been playing fantasy since the playoffs of the 2001 season, where the Rams lost to the Patriots in the Super Bowl. My uncle and my father have been playing fantasy football since the early 90s. And they set up a fantasy league for basically my generation in the family to play during that year, and I've been playing ever since. The league that my uncle and father are in, my uncle's the commissioner, I've now been in it for, I think, going on like 12 years, and the next in line of like who's been in it like the shortest amount of time has been in it for like 25 years. This league is now going into, I want to say it's 35th year total.
Wow, holy cow.
Yeah, so it's like fantasy football was bred into me from a young age. Like, you know, my dad telling me, like, we're rooting for David Boston to score a touchdown, you know?
That's like pen and paper age, right?
Back then? Oh, yes. When the league first started, they had, when they went to draft night, you know, they just brought newspapers or whatever to, like, draft off of, and they had to bring stamped envelopes for every week of the NFL season so my uncle could mail out the results to everybody, and all the results were based on the Monday paper or like the you know, like for Sunday and whatnot. When I started, it was all through email. But so if you wanted to do live scoring, you had to print out your roster and, you know, pencil, you know, changing, which of course I did, you know,
calculator,
keeping track of my live scoring throughout the week, you know.
That's crazy.
So yeah.
And then how long have you been playing Dynasty for?
Dynasty for, this will be 6 years now. Okay. I've been following Dynasty for a long time, honestly. I just never really had the opportunity to play until I got on Twitter and found people to play with. But it was something where I was like following along, would love to do this. This sounds awesome. But it was like in my personal circle, other than like I said, that league with like my uncle and my father, even my cousins weren't as diehard as like I am. They're like all about redraft, but none of them have interest in Dynasty. None of my friends were like that hardcore about it, so I just didn't have the opportunity, really, until Twitter.
And then in that time period, what are some of the best trades you've made?
I wrote down two that I'm especially happy with. One is 2021 when Teddy Bridgewater was playing for Denver and an injury put him into starting position, and I didn't need him on my team. I was set at QB, so I did the thing that I try to always do. This is a little thing that I like to do in Dynasty in general, is just like hang on to these quarterbacks who could get a shot at any point, and if they do, we think that they could score, you know, that kind of thing. Teddy Bridgewater had some history at that point, so he was like one of the better backups, you know. So then I just went, okay, find any team that has a chance to compete this year and cold call them for a second round pick with Teddy Bridgewater, since he's going to be starting like the rest of the year. And I'm going through teams. Okay, second. And then I get to a team who doesn't have a second round pick this year, but they have I was like, I'm just going to send it for a first. I know it's going to get denied, but maybe we'll get to something later, you know? And it was just automatically accepted. For a first round pick, and I was like, couldn't believe it. The chat went wild. It was fantastic. The other one I wrote down was in the 2024 season in a league no trade deadline, I lose in the first round of the playoffs, and I immediately start to fire sale my team off some veterans, because I had some pieces that were good. I barely lost in the playoffs, whatever. So this is part of what I think is fun about no trade deadline leagues. I traded Cooper Kupp for Christian McCaffrey, which I realize sounds completely crazy right now, people. But at that time, Cooper Kupp was scoring points and CMC wasn't playing. People weren't sure if he was going to play again. I traded Josh Jacobs for Chris Olave, who was eternally disappointing us, but had the advanced metrics, but not really doing anything. And then I traded Davante Adams and a fourth round pick for a 25 first, which I ended up using to pick Colson Loveland. And then in 2025, using CMC, Chris Olave, Colson Loveland won the championship.
Wow.
Yes, that is the exact reason you should not have a trade deadline.
Literally.
Yeah.
We are big anti-trade deadline on this show, but we're addicts. So
I get the argument against it, because it's like I have the advantage over the rebuilding teams to try and actually trade away an asset for like a pick, because I've got the good players. I made the playoffs. So I can get why people don't like it. I just still think like the benefits outweigh that perspective of the trade deadline.
Well, yeah. And one of the arguments we hear too is, oh, you can buy a championship or whatever. You shouldn't be able to do that. But exactly what you did is what happens far more often, is that you get the seller is the one that gets the major benefit over the people that are trying to buy their way to a championship.
Also, agreed. Like I hate the argument, well, people can just buy a championship. Right. They can buy a championship. So buy a championship.
Yeah, right. Do it. Yeah. It's always easier to say than do, right? Like, oh, he traded a first for this and he's gonna win. It's like, he's still gotta win. Like,
yeah, in my opinion, a lot of the times when people complain about the no trade deadlines in dynasty leagues, it's because they're probably not working hard enough to get the deals done for themselves, and they're seeing other people get stuff done.
Yep. These are usually a little easier to remember. What are some of the worst trades you've made?
See, this was not easier to remember for me. Really? I don't know about y'all, but like I blocked these out. Like those best trades I had top of mind. I can remember.
These are like tattooed on my brain. I remember them.
The worst ones I had to go searching to be like, I know I've got bad ones in there, but I need to find them, because I've purposely forgot about them. But the big one that stuck out, and this was one that I did remember a little bit, was before the 2024 season, I traded away Baker Mayfield for Brian Robinson, which was just like awful. trying to think about my line of thought there. Like, I remember I was like, I don't need, like at that point, this was Baker Mayfield hadn't started for Tampa Bay yet. And I was like, I don't think he's going to be really any good anymore. Like, I was kind of like, I'm not sure Baker still has it based on what we had seen from him bouncing around. Seems like his confidence is shot a little bit or something. And I was a fan of Brian Robinson. And I was like, I know that this trade will get done. If I send this, it's going to get accepted. I'm just going to send it. And I mean, within like a few weeks, it's like, well, this was one of the dumbest trades I've ever done.
That's usually how it goes, right? And it's always hard to trade a quarterback, especially super flex and stuff. And most, and all TA leagues are super flex, by the way. So we'll.
Yeah. I'm only talking about super flex.
Yeah. Okay. Sorry, I'm just checking to make sure we didn't miss anything. But what's a guiding principle you have in trading?
build a relationship with people by offering fair trades immediately. None of the let's see what I can get by with somebody. Like when you're first in a league, I'm always just trying to send the fairest possible trades that I can come up with.
Yeah.
It's after that you can learn tendencies with your league mates. And after you have that relationship, you're more likely to just like send something that may be a little bit on low on value, but because they're not thinking that you're coming at it in any malicious way, they're more likely to just take it at face value and accept it or be close to accepting it to begin with. And I don't say offer fair trades to start so that you can like start trying to screw people over in trades, because that never helps anyone. And it's honestly, it's hard to screw people over in trade, 'cause it's usually pretty obvious if you're trying to screw someone over, but just like I try to eliminate back and forth when I'm first playing with people. Like here's a trade that helps us both. Like I did the work to look at your team and see like you're light on running backs. I need a wide receiver. Here's what I think is equivalent value. If you tell me they're not, then we have an understanding that we see those players differently. But I'm at least trying to come to you with what I think is a very fair trade so that we can build a relationship and then go from there.
Yeah, I always like that. And everyone always tries to say smarts is like currently always taking advantage of people, right? Smarts is actually doing what you're doing, which is like, this is why it helps both of us. And this is why it provides value to both. So I agree with that. Okay. We have a lot to get through. Yes. So so for those who don't know, we're recording early this week. It's 9:46 Eastern right now. For those who are trying to check if I have all the news or not, I have Twitter open. We'll figure this out.
Monday night, by the way.
Yes. So we will, anything after that we didn't see. So we'll start with the QBs. Malik Willis to the Dolphins, 3 years, $68 million, $45 million guaranteed. This was the biggest quarterback move, in my opinion, today. I know Tua, we'll get to him. But Wyatt, what do you think of Malik Willis now as kind of a dynasty QB going forward? Top 20, higher, where are you putting him?
Yeah, definitely higher than 20, just because the point scoring is kind of undeniable because of his rushing ability. I think we can get into a nuanced conversation about if he's going to pan out long-term or not, which I still have reservations about, despite how great he looked on, what was it, 97 like total attempts?
Something or whatever. Like that, yeah.
Yeah, last year. I think LaFleur did a fantastic job of designing offenses for what Malik Willis can do, and I don't have a ton of confidence that other coaches can do that. Like there are a handful of coaches that he could go to where I'm like, this team will craft the offense to highlight Malik Willis's strengths and to minimize his weaknesses. I'm not sure that's going to happen with the Dolphins this year, but his rushing is so good that for fantasy, he should score points. We shouldn't have any doubts about that. As long as he's playing, he will be scoring points. I don't have any worry about that, but I think we can have like a little bit of worry of, does the experiment work in a way? Like, does it last past this year? Does it last the entire year? This amount of money makes me think yes. Like, this is the next level up from like Justin Fields' contract last year, where like that was like a glorified 1 year contract. We're like, this, he's got to make it work.
This is a 2 year deal, basically.
Yeah, this looks like a 2 year deal where he's going to get this year, and the next year is the year. Like, if this year doesn't go well, it's like an actual tryout again next year too. So I think you got this year, and because of that, like, I guess at least a year and a half guarantee of starting, you know, and the point scoring, he's got to be top 20 QBs. How high up in that top 20 is up for debate? Because once you start getting into like the teens, I mean, then you start talking about like, is he better than Tyler Shuck, Jordan Love? Like, I don't, you know, it might just be just inside the top 20, you know?
Yeah. Rocky.
Yeah, I agree with a lot of what Wyatt said there. Two things particular that he said stick out to me was that the small sample size and whether he can do it outside of Green Bay, because I have severe doubts. I agree he has to be top 20 just because he is seemingly locked in for 2 years, and he's like you said, he's going to score points even if he's not very good passing the ball over the whole season. You know, Justin Fields scores fantasy points, and he's often struggled to pass the ball as well. So it's just a matter of if he follows the Justin Fields route of, yes, he's scored fantasy points, but the NFL team does not want to keep starting him. So, which is what I believe is going to happen. So I think you still have to put him in the low end of the top 20, but I'm still not really looking to buy. Going to Miami doesn't particularly excite me either. I mean, it's good that he has a starting job, but being in Miami is not particularly exciting for me.
Willis or Darnold?
Willis.
Rocky doesn't like Darnold.
I know. Just
put him in a coffin.
But I don't love Willis either. I have to say Darnold. I feel like because he's locked in there long term now.
Willis, I like Darnold. I'm just not sure he makes a large enough of a difference fantasy scoring wise.
Right. Agreed. Yeah.
Willis or Stroud?
It's actually a good question.
I would. What's Stroud's future? I still believe in Stroud more than I believe in Willis, despite what the last couple years have been.
Okay. Yeah, I still kind of lead Stroud just a little bit because I actually think the what's his future? Like I was saying that in jest, I don't think that's like really real. I think Stroud's actually shown to be a really good QB, not one that they're going to let go.
Yeah,
and it's more circumstance than anything that's been his struggles.
I'll go down one. Willis or Goff?
Oh, Goff. That's not even a question for me.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
I just read you 18, 19, and 20 on Football Guys. Stroud, Darnold, Goff in that order. They have Shuck at 21, but I think that's going to change after all the moves today. So above that is Baker, Mendoza, Love. I wouldn't take Willis over any of those guys. No. So, okay. Oh, one more question on Willis. Waddle, up, down, or the same?
I haven't taken a moment today to think about Waddle. He's been out of sight, out of memory for me, you know, for a little bit here because I was really into Waddle coming into the season and like everything broke his way and it just did not matter like at all for Waddle. So it was really frustrating. I mean, like he's going to be the guy again, right? But like, how much does it matter? I don't even know because also like, what's this offensive system going to look like?
It's Slowik's, right? So you just got to go look at Houston, I would guess.
Yeah. And, you know, I actually think Slowik probably looks better in hindsight now than we originally thought after what happened after he left.
Yeah.
I think Slowik probably just crafted a really basic offense because he didn't have an offensive line to work with. So he kind of had to, you know. But what does he do with a running QB? I don't know. So I don't know what this is going to look like. And it's another team that needs offensive line help. So he, like, I guess he doesn't like playing for, or coaching teams with good offensive lines.
Yeah.
In terms of Waddle's value, I think I would just say the same. Like,
I think I'm just sustaining on Waddle value. It's is what it is.
Yeah, it's not like he's significantly better than Tua, even though everyone hates Tua. But
Speaking of which, Tua to Atlanta, 1 year, $1 million deal. We have the Southpaw QB battle for, like, I would guess the first time in probably history. I don't know the last time two left-handed QBs went against each other, but I guess one, Wyatt, do you think he starts? And two, same on London, up, down, or the same?
He starts if Penix is not healthy to start the season, but I don't see any reason to believe why they would go with Tua as long as Penix is upright and on the field. Just to make it, I think it's a smart move to make for a backup QB deal for them. It's actually, I think, maybe undervalued having two left-handed QBs because people talk about how the ball comes out differently for left-handed QBs, and that can be a thing for wide receivers to get used to. Well, now they both have two left-handed QBs, and I mean, like, for as bad as Tua has been recently, like he has a pedigree. So we know he can run an offense, right? Like he's probably a really good backup to have. So I like it for Atlanta, but Penix and London, I would say the same. You know, we know that Tua can at least feed his number one receiver.
I agree. It's a great real life move. The $1 million deal is just because he's getting paid by Miami. Right, or else he would have commanded a lot more money, I think, even as a backup on the open market. And yeah, I kind of like it. Like, you know, he's got Stefanski there. He's got a lot of weapons there. I agree. He probably doesn't start the year if Penix is healthy, but I also think there's a very real chance he finishes the year even if Penix is healthy, because I don't believe in Penix. And
mm-hmm. yeah,
and I believe didn't Cousins did replace him when healthy last year, right? At one point, didn't he like come in a game or two?
Did
like,
he benched? I know he got hurt.
Yeah,
he left.
I think he at least got pulled in the game. I can't remember if he got pulled for like a start, but I'm pretty sure at some point he got pulled in a game. Okay. But either way. I definitely think there's a possibility that like Penix could just get benched at this point.
Mm-hmm.
And new coach, you know, he may just want to see.
He has nothing, and he has no investment in Penix himself.
Stefanski. Yeah.
Yeah.
Right. I like the deal. I think it fits with Stefanski. And yeah, to Wyatt's point, let him just throw it around, and he knows his number one receiver. This is probably the same for Pitts, right? I mean, just he knows how to find a tight end. He's shown it. Yep. So,
yeah.
Easy enough. Ugh, the Cardinals. All right. Jacoby Brissett's going to start. At least that's the plan. And Gardner Minshew is going to be the backup.
Hey, Jacoby was a fantasy stud last year.
I know that, but something scares me about new system and everything this time around. Like, so what do we do? Why? I mean, are you giving a second for Jacoby Brissett if you need a quarterback?
No, I'm not positive he starts all year. I thought it was very interesting the moment they saw Minshew. They're like, Jacoby Brissett's our starter.
Yeah.
So everyone knows.
That's weird.
Because Minshew, $8 million. If I remember correctly, that's more than like Brissett will make this year.
Good question.
So I thought it was a little bit. When I saw the money for Minshew, I was like, oh, that's a QB battle. And then they're like, no, it's Brissett. But they could just easily not be done at QB. I mean, they could be the Ty Simpson team if Ty Simpson falls to the beginning of the second round, or they trade up into the back end of the first for Ty Simpson. I don't like Ty Simpson, but that seems to be where he's going to go. I don't know. I think they might be done, and even if they are done at QB, I'm not positive that Brissett's going to start all year. So I don't really want to spend that second right now for it. In season, if I find myself needing a QB and it's Jacoby doing his thing, and maybe I'll feel a little bit differently, but right now I'll just wait.
Yeah, the last thing he said there is exactly what I was going to add on. Is I'll wait and see if he can continue to do what he was doing last year before I pay it. And even if he does, I still don't think he's worth a first. So
if he does, I still don't believe it.
No, I'm saying, even if he does, I don't think anyone's demanding a first for Jacoby.
No, I get it.
So.
Yeah, you'll never have to pay more than a second. And if you do, then you just let him. Hey, you have all yours.
He makes $9 million this year on little 1 year deal.
Virtually the same. Yeah.
Yeah.
Is that with incentives or just base?
I don't know. It's just what Spotrac has for cap hit. So probably everything. Base is $5 million. Yeah.
Okay.
What about Wilson, Marvin Harrison, McBride? Just steady Eddie for now. No changes on them.
Depends a little bit on what the new coaching staff wants to do a little bit.
Yeah.
You know, old coaching staff definitely wanted to feature the tight end. Not that the new coaching staff won't. I mean, it's Trey McBride. You should be, right? Like,
yeah.
But how much of the first reads are Trey McBride's? Yeah. I'm not trying to be down on Trey McBride. I'm just like, I don't know. This could look a lot of different ways, and it wouldn't really surprise me. Michael Wilson could lead them in targets. It wouldn't surprise me. Marvin Harrison could lead them in targets. It wouldn't surprise me. All these things could happen. I think it's a little bit of a mess. I really like Trey McBride still just because he's so dang good and creates an actual difference at tight end. I would say that both Michael Wilson and Marvin Harrison Jr., I'm kind of just off in general. And I mean, like, you can play the game and hope you're right on one of them. I just don't feel like playing that game personally between those two.
If Michael Wilson leads the Cardinals in targets, they need to trade Marvin Harrison because that's too much talent to just have as your wide receiver too. I know you probably don't want to do the whole sunk cost fallacy on him, but it's time to get something if you're not going to use him properly.
Yeah, and the problem with Michael Wilson is, like, because of what he did last year, people actually really value him, even though, like, when Marvin Harrison Jr. was healthy, he was actually leading them in targets between the two of them. Like, it was basically just whoever was – if Harrison was healthy, he was in that role. If he wasn't healthy, Michael Wilson was in that role.
Yep.
But because of what Michael Wilson did, people value Michael Wilson pretty highly right now, which is why I say, like, I just don't want – I'm just kind of out on both because I don't want to pay the price for Michael Wilson.
Yeah. All right, Rocky, you can take a break for a second. The Walker Hive's about to take over. the two Walker guys are on the screen. So Ken Walker, 3 years, $45 million, $29 million guaranteed to the Chiefs. He is RB1 on the Chiefs now. There is no one there to compete with him. Wyatt, is he a top five running back? I'm kidding. Is he a top 12 running back?
Well, he was top 12 before, I would say, this. I don't think that would have been crazy. I had him at 10 in my dynasty rankings before the move. So now I have to have the conversation with myself against, like, Breece Hall, James Cook, which I think I'm easily
putting. He's ahead of those two for me, for sure.
Yeah. Then it becomes, like, Saquon, which probably ahead of there, too, especially because of age. So now we're talking, okay, is he going to start almost enter top five? Like, and but I think that's actually probably where it stops, because then we're talking about Amarian Hampton, Achan, Genty, Jonathan Taylor. That's, I think that becomes a clear stop. So I think, like, he's a tier behind them, but at the top of that next year.
Agreed. I think it will depend on what they do the rest of this time. If they bring Kareem Hunt back, if they do all these other little stupid things that are going to take away from Walker, then we can start dropping him. But right now, yeah, I agree with you. I think it's a legitimate question of Walker versus Cook. And that's kind of where that's the tier break, because then you get like Henderson and Chase Brown and Breece Hall and Bucky and Kyren. We're going way down now. So I guess, Rocky, this is where I'll bring you in. Walker or James Cook?
I still want Cook.
Okay. That's fair. I think this was the move of the day. I think this was the most exciting one, and the Chiefs somehow pulled this off again. So very excited as someone who's been kind of pounding the drum on Walker for too long. So anything else to add on Walker before we move on?
He's incredibly talented. He's going to be really good for the Chiefs. I mean, like, look at the running production the Chiefs have made happen for bad running backs. The last time they had a good running back, it was Kareem Hunt when he was young, and he was fantastic.
Yep. And the last time before that was, like, Jamal Charles. So it's been a while.
Yeah.
All right. This was probably the most surprising one of the day. ETN to the Saints, 4 years, $52 million. Schefter put out that people are monitoring Kamara now. So one of Dynastud's questions is, help me decide if New Orleans was a good or bad landing spot for my ETN shares. Good offensive system with possibly good young QB, but lots of competition, both young and old. Is Shuck secretly the winner here because he gets easy dump off options to add into the mix? So Wyatt, let's start with the first part. Do you like the fit for ETN in this offense?
It's fine. It's if we have to be binary, is it good or bad? It's good. There were probably some better options. One of them Ken Walker took from him, you know, but I always thought the best option for us for fantasy was probably him just staying in Jacksonville. I thought things worked out really well for them. He gets to be with his college QB still, you know, they have a connection there. Liam Cohen's offense is great for running backs. If he's going to leave, at least he went to a spot where he's probably going to get like a three down workhorse role, because Kamara is definitely way past his prime. I don't know what they're going to do with him, but he said that if he's not playing for New Orleans, he's not playing anymore. So we'll see what happens there. But I do like the note from the question here about if it's actually like Tyler Shuck that's the secret winner. And I do think it matters, because like the running game was not good last year. Now they have a competent running game, in my opinion, because ETN, like, I think when you go like under the hood, a lot of his like advanced metrics in 2025, weren't particularly impressive. He was more just kind of like good than great. But he's significantly better than what they had last year. So this helps the offense continue to move.
Yeah. Rocky?
Yeah, I mean, this is kind of lateral fantasy value-wise to me. Like, I don't particularly like ETN any more than I did in Jacksonville, is why it was kind of saying. I think the big thing is the workload should be like all him, basically, pretty much. I know
Devin
mentioned competition.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, I think Kamar is either not there or scaled way back with his signing. And I don't think Devin Neal, I mean, you got to have other running backs that play, but I don't think he's significantly cutting into that workload when ETN's healthy. So, and ETN can catch down the backfield too. So he can, if they do get rid of Kamara, he can kind of take some of that role too.
Yeah. Neil feels like when the Saints had like Adrian Peterson and he was like, you know, running up the middle on first down, and then the real running back came in for the rest of the down. So it's like, I could totally see that happening. I thought this was a good move, and the Tootin hive is going to go crazy right now because they've been waiting for him to be unleashed. So I guess Wyatt, real quick on Tootin, where do you see him going from here? Do you like him? Do you like LaQuinn Allen? Any of the Jags scream out to you value-wise right now?
I do really like Bashaul Tootin. I think that the Jags are going to add to this backfield, though. I want people to like have that warning ahead of time. Like, don't think it's completely his. Also, I think like, why can't I get the third down back's name out of my mind?
LaQuinn Allen.
I was about to say, you just said it, and like for some reason, my mind just erased it the moment you
I get
said
that.
It. But yeah, LaQuinn Allen, I'm sure will still play on third downs, like pure pass blocking, which that doesn't do anything else for fantasy. It just eats snaps from the other running backs. But again, Liam Cohen's offense is really good for running backs. Bashaul Tootin is really talented. He has some inconsistencies to his game, but he had really good success rate as a rookie. That's why they were using him in short yard situations over ETN. He's a good pass catcher. He's fast. He's explosive. They specifically targeted him. James Gladstone, the GM, came out and said that after the draft, which is part of the reason why I feel confident about him. Because in a lot of situations, starter leaves, we think now running back takes that position. It doesn't always work like that. It's not always that simple. The fact that Gladstone came out and said like they were specifically targeting Tootin gives me some confidence. Shameless plug, my latest article for Player Profiler was talking about the Rabbit Tournament, and I had already written that Tootin was a target of mine because I thought the tea leaves were saying that ETN was going to move on. So I'm a fan of the move for Tootin. How far he moves up the rankings for me, I don't know, because I'm already kind of aggressive to begin with because I like the player, I like the situation. So he's now bordering on top 24 running backs in Dynasty for me. But that's because, like I said, I do think they're going to add to this backfield. I don't think he's going to be, you know, 250 carries and 50 target type of running back. Like, I think he might be a 200 carry and a 40 target running back, you know, which is still pretty good. But you got to start thinking about, like, how much that ceiling is actually there.
First off, shameless plug, as much as you want, you're our guest, you're allowed to plug your stuff. Second off, this definitely feels like Rashad White is going to come in and like mess this up, or someone of that caliber, and like, you know, who's not going to make a ton of money like ETN did, but can still come and mess this backfield up. So
there,
I agree, we have to wait.
In to do some of the dirty work somewhere for two.
Yes.
He doesn't have to have too many touches a game.
Yeah, yes. I never believed that the guy that was just left and the number two, like, until the draft happens and free agency is over, I will never believe that, oh, it's just Tootin's backfield. And not specifically, just any running, but like, unless it's like some like a Zach Charbonnet who had a bigger,
if he didn't get hurt, we'd be like, yes, his backfield.
Exactly. Yeah.
Agreed. And the Panthers just signed Devin Lloyd as their middle linebacker, so their defense is going to be nasty now. So let's get to this, the ugliest backfield in football. Tyler Allgeier to the Cardinals on a 2-year deal. And James Conner revised his deal to stay another year, and Benson is still there. So Dynasted asks, why does Arizona hate their fantasy running back owners? My Benson shares are sad, as are my Allgeier shares. So Wyatt, two-part question. Who is your favorite running back in Arizona? And I guess, is Conner worth anything at this point, or is it just going to be...
favorite running back in Arizona is an oxymoron.
That's fair.
Allgeier is my favorite.
Yep.
Conner had to take a pay cut to stay with the Cardinals. So I'm sure they still like him. It's just like they were not going to keep him on the team at his cost. And then they went out and used money to bring in Tyler Allgeier. So to me, that shows signs that at least as of now, they view Allgeier ahead of Conner. And I think this also means that they think that Trey Benson is trash and that he's dead. Because like at this point, I mean, if he can't actually get any confidence from the organization, what is he doing?
So he also can't stay healthy. I mean, he hasn't been.
And I'm sure that's part of it, right?
Yeah.
They're probably looking at him like, we can't trust you, you know? So I think it's going to be some sort of mishmash between Allgeier and Conner. Conner's the better pass catcher. So I imagine he's going to get more of that type of role from them. Yeah, it doesn't excite me for anybody, you know, as Rocky was kind of saying, you know, Arizona running backs here. It's not exciting in general. If it was just still going to be Connor and Benson, I would be pretty excited for Connor. In fact, I was for that, like, 24 hours in which it was like, yes, Connor's got the backfield still. Now I'm like, this is probably going to be messy. And how many points are even available to the running backs and the Cardinals to split?
Yeah, sounds like Brissett's going to throw it 50 times a game. I mean, just throw it to Algier.
There you go. Maybe you should be given that second for Brissett. But yeah, I just think it's a big giant mess, and I don't particularly love any of these guys. And I think the biggest takeaway is what Wyatt said there, is that Benson is probably dead for Dynasty. Just right off Benson. If you can sell him for anything, do it. I just don't see it happening.
And if you want to trade a third for Benson, you know, God bless you. Like, I hope it works out for you, but I wouldn't do it. Okay, Rocky, we took a hit today. The Bucky Irving fan club took a hit today.
Yeah.
Kenny Gainwell to the Bucks, 2-year, $14 million, $10 million guaranteed. A lot of people liked this deal today. So Wyatt, what did you think of this, and how does it affect Bucky?
First off, Kenneth Gainwell getting more money than Tyler Allgeier in free agency wasn't on my bingo card. But I think it makes a lot of sense for the Buccaneers, because he's just like the Rashad White replacement. Gainwell's significantly better than Bucky Irving as pass blocker. That is one thing the Buccaneers have not let Bucky do. They've given him opportunities, more opportunities than I was expecting for his profile entering the NFL, but they do not let him pass block. And it's been fine for the most part for Bucky's value. He still gets, has gotten plenty of targets.
Mm-hmm.
Gainwell, I don't know if he's better than Rashad White or not, because Gainwell kind of rounded it out into himself a little bit more than we've ever seen from him last year. And I know that obviously some of that has to do with Aaron Rodgers really liking him, but like, just, you know, frankly, Gainwell was the best he's ever been, just like on the field. Play, like his actual play individually was pretty good. I don't think it really affects Bucky much. I was kind of off Bucky at price to begin with, though, because I am one of those people who kind of looks at his profile after 2 years and says maybe there is something to him not being able to handle the entire workload like they gave him at the end of his rookie year. That was my concern last year, was like, can they do that over a full season? And then they didn't, because he got hurt. And when he came back, they were giving short yard stuff to Sean Tucker, and Rashad White was mixing in. Now, you know, different coaching staff now, not the same as before. So does that change again? I don't know. The coach speak was pretty glowing about Bucky, that we view him like Bijan, blah, 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 blah. Which, I mean, that's an asinine statement.
Of course you said that.
Right? Bucky to Bijan. Not no shade to Bucky, but like, come on.
No one's Bijan. Yeah, right. It's, yeah.
I would just say I would still have my concerns that I had going into last year with Bucky, that I'm not sure how big a role he can handle over a whole year. So I don't know if they're going to continue to give it to him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I'm just a little worried as a huge Bucky stan, that Gainwell might cut even more into his workload than Rashad White. Like you mentioned, the pass protection, and he's been a very, especially last year, Gainwell, a very good receiver out of the backfield, which is one of Bucky's biggest assets coming out of college himself. So I'm a little worried he cuts into the receiving workload in a way that Rashad White didn't quite do.
I think the way it's been explained to me online today is that Gainwell is the best pass catcher of the three, being Bucky, White, and Gainwell. And that could be bad for the pass catching side of Bucky. And right. Bucky will just be the running guy now. So that would worry me for the upside of Bucky. I'm not necessarily worried about the floor of Bucky, which I think is kind of the point Rocky was making, but it's not like I'm not worried about like where he's going to be on a consistent basis, but he's not going to have those, like, you know, 25, 30 point games without catching balls. So that would be what scares me.
It's interesting that the receiving profiles between Rashad White and Kenneth Gainwell, because I think I agree that Kenneth Gainwell is the better pass catcher, but like they do it in different ways. Gainwell's like actually has receiver abilities. He can actually line out and run some routes and stuff like that better than most running backs can. Rashad White's not quite like that because he's not really that agile of a running back, but he's extremely good on like screens and stuff like that and seeing the lanes there. So it's a almost a different kind of thing. I'm not sure how that's will play out. You know, it's an interesting thought experiment.
Yeah. Rocky, I feel like you deserve to read the next one.
J.K. Dobbins back to the Broncos on a 2-year, $20 million deal, $8 million guaranteed. I am also a big Dobbins stan, Wyatt, from his rookie year. And I was very happy to see what happened last year. And I frankly was disappointed, though, that Dobbins is back in Denver.
I just wanted it to be Dowdle or someone like better than that. But I get it. But Wyatt, where are you on Dobbins and I guess Harvey now?
Dobbins
now
was very good when healthy last year.
I know that, but that's the story of Dobbins, as you said last week.
I think me and Rocky agree a lot here. I was in on, like, at price especially, Dobbins all the way last year. Dobbins will always be one of those what-if players, like if injuries didn't hit. Because, man, is he so good, and he's always been so good.
And he gets hurt every year.
Yeah, and he was fantastic as a runner last year for Denver. Nothing in the passing game, but he was holding down R.J. Harvey because of how good of a runner he was. I bet we're going to get a lot more of what we saw to start the season last year, except I would say we don't get any of the RB3-4 fudge, you know, that was messing with things. Like, this is probably just going to be Dobbins and Harvey after Harvey having a year in system and learning in the NFL. Harvey was a good pass catcher down the stretch of last season. I expect him to do that again in next year or this coming year, but Dobbins is going to be leading them in carries, like, without a doubt, as long as he's healthy.
Rocky, would you trade a contending second for J.K. Dobbins?
Yes. So, yeah, a late second, yes, absolutely. Okay. I think, like you said, until he gets hurt again, I think you're going to get solid RB2-ish production.
I think the move is just buy Harvey in like week 11 before, as Zach Reed would say, Dobbins has his all expense paid trip to Tahiti for the rest of the year, and then you can just ride Harvey for the playoffs. So maybe that's the answer.
And I was just going to say, I also don't really value late seconds that highly in a normal draft.
Yeah.
From everything I'm hearing about this draft, a late second is really not that valuable.
Yeah,
this draft in particular. but the only reason why I would be apprehensive about trading a second for Dobbins is because I want to know how high I can get with that second before I trade it for Dobbins. Not that I wouldn't necessarily do it for Dobbins. I just want to know how far up I can get with it.
Yeah,
that's fair.
And then the last one and most recent one, Dowdle to the Steelers, 2 years, $12 million. I completely blanked on the fact that he and McCarthy were together in Dallas. So that would make sense. That makes more sense now. And it just came out. It's $12 million. So it's fine. Wyatt, what do you think about Dowdle? And then how would this affect Warren going forward?
I've liked Dowdle for a couple of years now. I mean, basically after he showed us that he was a solid NFL running back for Dallas, I dig this guy, you know. With the Steelers, it's really interesting because the pairing of him and Jaylen Warren doesn't make a lot of sense based on what Jaylen Warren did last year. Warren was that, like, pass catcher plus, and then last year they kind of made him into the grinder with a little bit of pass catching. And Dowdle's kind of a running back who can do a little bit of everything, but he's definitely, you think of him more of as a two down back than a three down, than a pass catcher. He can do it, but he's not like an exceptional at it or anything like that. So it's an interesting pairing. Like, it makes me wonder, like, are they going to scale back Warren back to being more of a pass catcher first and adding in as a runner a little bit and make Dowdle into that like two down hammer for them? And will Jaylen Warren never get a full backfield to himself ever?
So unfortunate, because he's so talented when he plays well.
Yeah, he really is. You know, if it were me, Warren would just have a much larger role than Dowdle. No shade to Dowdle. But I've got a feeling that that's not going to be the case, and this is going to be closer to like a 50-50 between them, with Dowdle being the runner, Warren being the pass catcher, balance between them.
Yeah,
I'm with Wyatt 100% on this. I prefer Warren over Dowdle's running back too. I actually tend to think that a lot of the dynasty community overrates Dowdle a little because of those two monster back-to-back games last year, where he had like 200 yards or so in each game. He's fine, but I don't there's not. I don't particularly love Dowdle one. You know, I don't have strong feelings about Dowdle one way or the other. Is basically the way I would put it. And I did like what we were seeing out of Warren a lot last year. Until then, Gainwell started cutting into his time more as the year went on. But yeah, I think again, it's just going to be. I don't think we're going to see like at the end of last year. Those two were actually both startable. Warren and Gainwell. I don't think we're seeing that though. I think it's just going to be more of a another messy backfield where neither one is a great option to start each week.
Yeah. To me, as Wyatt was laying that out, it reminds me of Najee and Warren, where Warren was kind of like the home run hitter and Najee was getting 5 yards a carry on like 25 carries and going nowhere with it. But like, I think that's probably the comp, right? And it's probably Dowdle on the goal line, which sucks, but I agree. It's probably just put him in a pile and I don't know who's going to come out being better. So, okay. Huge trade. This feels like it was a year ago.
It does.
But DJ Moore was traded to Buffalo. Holy cow. So as a reminder, DJ Moore played for Joe Brady in Carolina for 2 years when he was the OC of Carolina. So it's a reunion. So Wyatt, where are we on Moore and where are we on the young core? For by the way, Zacchaeus went to the Falcons today, so the young core is fully unblocked.
So DJ Moore with the Bills is exciting because it's an actual wide receiver who can play outside and he's good. How good is he at this point in his career is up for debate. But like top 36 wide receiver in scoring, I think is probably good. Like saying top 24, I don't know if I'm there yet because I don't think the Bills are done at wide receiver. And I think that Josh Allen and Joe Brady are both at a point where they're just spreading the ball around a good amount. I don't think DJ Moore really changes that. I think it just eliminates a lot of the tertiary pieces that would have to contribute because the Bills are trying to find anything of hope at wide receiver. So like, I mean, I'm interested in general in DJ Moore, but like, I imagine that the price is going to be kind of steep now these with Josh Allen, so much so that I'm not going to trade. On the opposite side of that, over in Chicago, yes, it opens things up for Luther Burden, but I'm not positive that that matters too much. Roma Dunze is still there. He was leading the team to start the season, dealt with injury. Him back to being 100% healthy going into this year, does that matter? And then the bigger thing is Colson Loveland, I think, is actually the number one target in that offense as a whole. I mean, like, the way they used him towards the end of the season and into the playoffs, like, that looked like this is our guy, this is our number one target. I mean, when they needed a must-have two-point conversion, they lined up Colson Loveland on a cornerback and said, route that dude up.
Yep.
That's what they drew up when on a must-have two-point conversion in the playoffs. So, yeah, it opens it up for Luther Burden, but, like, opens him up for what?
Yeah.
I'm not sure yet. Like, I'm not there. I'm definitely below market on Luther Burden. I kind of have been at all points and probably will continue to be.
There's people putting Burden in the top 12 already. Let's just calm down
for a second. That's insane.
Calm down. You know, Bears aren't done either, by the way, to your point. Like, they only have like three wide receivers on the roster, and Burden and Odunze are two of them. So,
and everyone wants to cite like Luther Burden's yards per run as a rookie, and it's like the best ever. And it's like, but he did on 200 less routes than like everybody else on that list that you see. Mm-hmm. You know, he wouldn't even qualify on a lot of lists if you did a certain cutoff. Don't get me wrong, I think he is talented. I think Ben Johnson knows how to use him. I don't know if he's like this target dominant wide receiver in the NFL.
Mm-hmm. Rocky?
As far as DJ Moore, I do like this. Maybe a little more than Wyatt does, just because I feel like he I agree they do tend to spread it around, and Josh Allen's gonna run and James Cook is gonna run. So it's not like I expect Moore to be a wide receiver one, but I was just looking up his stats from last year and he had like 50 catches for 670 yards, and I think he's gonna outdo that. In Buffalo, he only had 82 targets and he played every game. I think he'll outdo that. So I do think it's an uptick, and he is still only 28, which is actually a little younger than I thought he was. A lot of receivers start hitting their prime around 28. So I'm not saying that's what's going to happen. I think there's an upside there, but I think even if he doesn't hit that upside, I feel like it's better than last year. I feel like he's, I think you said possible top 24. I kind of see him in that top 24, but maybe on the low end. I'd say better than wide receiver three, but probably still only like at best like a mid to low end two in terms of fantasy production, not value. So I think it's an uptick from last year, but I don't think we're getting like DJ Moore from 3 years ago.
Would you buy DJ Moore for a first?
I don't think I would.
You're going to have to.
I'd probably.
Yeah, that's why I asked, because yeah, I think that's asking
I think if I was going to acquire DJ Moore, I might just try and do it in some kind of bigger package or something instead of just sending a first for him or something like that.
Tear down from another wide receiver too.
Yeah, something like that. Yeah.
Yeah. Like, I'm looking at the day three receivers for – or day two, round three receivers, and I could absolutely see the Bears being on, like, Elijah Surratt, Jacoby Lane, someone like that to kind of fill in the third slot. So let's just wait and see what the Bears have. I agree with everything you guys said. DJ did a lot for Chicago. I hope he is successful. We'll end it with this. Wyatt, can you rank the three wide receivers in Dynasty for you?
Between DJ Moore,
the two Bears, and DJ. Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. That would go. I'm still going to put Luther Burden first out of those three, even though I just talked down about him. and then Roman Dunze, DJ Moore.
I would just reverse Dunze and Burden myself.
Okay.
I would have Dunze, Burden, DJ Moore. I'm more pro DJ Moore than Wyatt is. Yeah. I don't have him that, especially if we're talking value, I think. Yeah. I definitely think there's a world where DJ Moore outscores with the Burden next year, but I'm not valuing DJ Moore above with the Burden.
Yeah. Okay, we had two Colts wide receiver moves. The deal of the day, Alec Pierce. Good God. 4 years, $116 million, $84 million guaranteed, and then the Colts turned right around and sent Pittman to Pittsburgh. Everyone's been laughing about that. And he got a three-year, $59 million extension. So, first off, Wyatt, Pierce or Pittman going forward?
Pierce.
Okay.
Pretty easily.
Yeah. And then where are you on Pierce, kind of wide receiver two-ish for now? He's going to be the best in Indy, but who knows what that means.
Yeah, I can't get that high just because I don't know how much of a target volume he'll demand week in and week out.
Yeah.
And that, again, no shade here to Alec Pierce. I've been saying that a lot today. But I try to be really realistic with a lot of these players. And it's like, number one, I thought he was worth the money he was going to get paid. I didn't expect 4 years of that money. So that's a little bit surprising. But this is supply and demand. He does a role very well that the NFL covets. It's really hard to find wide receivers who can play the X consistently and consistently win. And Alec Pierce can do that. That's worth a lot of money to NFL teams. 4 years, a little bit crazy, but like the role he plays, unless he starts to round out his game even further, which don't get me wrong, is possible because he definitely grew into more of himself this past year, but he still is mostly stuff working off the nine route. Like it's a lot of nines, posts, corners, digs, which like that's great, you know, but like until he starts to work out more where they're starting to give him some manufactured stuff like we see from a lot of the highest performing wide receivers, what's the ceiling actually? To me, he's probably more of like a boom bust wide receiver three week in and week out, which is basically what he was last year. I think he's just kind of more of that, like fantasy production wise moving forward. How you value that in Dynasty with this contract, I think it's going to vary a lot from person to person. I mean, there's going to be some people who say he's going to continue to grow. So for that, now he's nearing my top 24 wide receivers. I'm not there yet. So, I mean, good player. I thought he was getting too much hate for about to get a big contract, but I also probably think there's going to be a lot of people valuing him higher than I could.
Yeah, I'm 100% with Wyatt there, and I think he made a great point there in that he's a much better real-life NFL player than he is a fantasy player. I was just looking. He had one game over 20 fantasy points all year, and three games over four catches all year. So, yeah, and I'm with why I kind of don't see him rounding out his guy. I just see him fulfilling this role and being way overpaid to do it. And and that's going to be good for the Colts, but it's not going to be good for Alec Pierce managers starting him in their lineups, except when he happens to go off for like a long one.
Yeah. I guess on Pierce, we'll start there. I agree with everything you guys said. I would struggle to see how he's like the dude in Indianapolis. They just spread it around too much, and Downs is still there, and like they're probably going to go get someone else. But I think for the Pittman side of this, I think it's an incomplete, right? We don't know who the quarterback is. So I think until we know who the quarterback is, because by the way, like as we've talked about today, Pittsburgh's got an offense now. They have Dowdle, they added Pittman, they have DK still and more. Like let's see who the quarterback is, and then we'll circle back around. If it's Kyler or something like that, I think we can be excited, but let's wait on Pittman for now.
Yeah. Quarterback matters a lot there.
Yeah. I think it's the most important QB position left.
I do think, like, if he has a decent quarterback, it's good for him that he's not like the guy like he was in Indianapolis too. The DK is more the one.
It's a good pairing.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is. I like it a lot. They have different skill sets.
Yeah. I'm kind of excited a little bit for both of them in a way.
Yep.
If we have a QB.
Yeah, right.
Big if, but yeah. Yeah.
It's a big if. If it's Rodgers, I'm not sure I'm excited, but we'll see.
Yeah.
He's doing his thing again. I'm not going to bring him out because I said I wouldn't, but he's doing his whole, like, will I, won't I again.
Mm-hmm.
Wandale Robinson's Titans. I actually love this deal. 4 years, $70 million, 38 guaranteed. He's back with Dable again. Wyatt, is he the best on the Titans? Is he the best wide receiver on the Titans now?
Yeah, I believe so.
Yeah.
It's a low bar, but yeah.
Yeah. He's agree on both counts. Yeah.
Yeah.
It's a funny meme thing where on the internet today was a Brian Dable, like, let me bring in the guys that got me fired or something like that.
Yeah, because then he also brought in Bellinger, too.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I was like, oh, we're paying $21 million to Bellinger? Okay. Yeah. I thought Theo Johnson was, or not Theo, no, Gunnar Helm was all right as a rookie. You know, like, right. I thought maybe he'd step into something. But yeah, no, I'm with you, Frank. I like the move for Wandale. Because as soon as Malik Nabers is back, he's not going to get the target volume that he was probably getting before. Not with Jackson Dart, because with Jackson Dart, the target volume as a whole drops a little bit because he runs. So we know that, you know, Malik Nabers would get his, but what happens after that? So with the Titans, I mean, he's easily their wide receiver one. He should have a pretty large target volume. We know that Cam Ward also likes the slot, because that's why Xavier Streppo had any amount of hype coming into the NFL.
Yes.
Yeah, I think we're going to see something very similar to last year with Wandale, where he catches. There's going to be a lot of games where he catches a lot of passes, but like he's like 7 for 65 yards or something like that.
His yak is terrible. Like, his yak is not very good for someone who's as fast as he is. Like,
I think
it's going to be Giants, though.
I think it's one of those things where he's just too small. You know, like when you're in college. He can get away with it because he is honestly talented with the ball in his hands. But when you get to the NFL, he's just not breaking those arm tackles as often, you know, against NFL talent.
Yep. That should scare you about Chris Bell, people, just FYI. for all the people who like that. I think this hurts DK more than Io Manor, because DK does more of that downfield sprinting thing that Wandale's going to do. So I guess.
While on the subject, is Calvin Ridley alive? Is he still on the team?
I don't know. that's a good question.
I thought of that. Like,
Rocky can look that up. He got hurt last year, I think, and then Iron Man and DK came in. So I guess Ridley.
His cap hits $26 million this year.
Yeah, I'm surprised he didn't.
Are you kidding me? Yeah. And next year it's 27.
Yeah, no, he got paid a lot of money to help Cam Ward.
They can't get out of the contract this year. They have a dead cap of $5 million next year. With Ridley.
Okay. So maybe he plays, but yikes, that sucks. I think it's going to be, I said this a couple weeks ago, I think the Titans offense is going to be fun, especially if they add Jeremiah Love, which they're in that running now. So I think it's going to be really fun. So we'll see how it goes.
They could easily be one of those teams that takes the big jump. Like, this happens one or two teams a year. The entire offense is undervalued and all. And like this was the Texans when it was CJ Stroud's rookie year, you know, stuff like that. Yeah, the Bears can be one. They could easily make a massive jump as an entire offense.
I think it's them or the Giants are the two in the running for that. And for those who keep hearing me clicking, I keep refreshing because apparently like BTJ to the Giants is getting closer and closer. So that would be awesome if it's him and Neighbors.
Erotic.
Yeah, it's great. Okay, this was the biggest, I would call it, shock of the day. Mike Evans to the Niners on a three-year deal, $60 million. I saw somewhere it's only like $16 million guaranteed. I haven't seen that anywhere else, and I can't remember where I saw it. But like, for the, it could be just a one-year deal. But it sounds like he's chasing a ring. First off, what number is he going to wear? He's not wearing 13.
Maybe my son were talking about it just before the show. He's like, what is he going to wear?
Someone put him in like the NFL pictures like he was wearing 3, which would make sense because that's just good enough. But he's the best on the Niners now, right, Wyatt?
I'm not totally ready to say that because I think Pearsall's really good. But I do think I can't believe this wasn't like really on my radar that much because it makes so much sense for the Niners. The X wide receiver position has always been massive in the Kyle Shanahan offense. If he can have an X wide receiver who consistently win, it opens up everything his offense wants to do. So he's always valued that position greatly. So this makes a ton of sense. How consistent is Mike Evans' production with the 49ers? That's my question. And it depends on the health of everyone around him, right? That'll be the question there. But I'm excited about it in general.
Yeah.
For fantasy, I'm not sure how excited to get because of that inconsistency that I think could happen for him on this offense. I mean, CMC is still going to get his targets. If Kittle's healthy, I think Pearsall's good. How much is to really go around between them? I mean, that's always been the question with San Francisco, right? But how efficient can he be on the opportunities he does get at this point in his career?
Purdy can definitely get the ball to him. I mean, he's a good deep ball passer. So
he's another one of these, like, he might end up being like this boomer bust wide receiver 3 type this season. And what's that worth to you at his age?
Rocky?
Yeah, I don't really have too much to add there. To me, him being in San Fran is kind of a big question mark to me. So I agree with what Wyatt said, basically. I think, especially at his age, I mean, dynasty-wise, I don't know that I'm really interested in acquiring him, going to a new team. I mean, it is Shanahan, so that makes it interesting. But and Purdy is, you know, like you said, definitely capable of getting the ball. But McCaffrey, Kittle, he does seem to be the wide receiver one, but I don't know how much I value that at his age and what he's going to do there.
This feels like a Kittle replacement to me, actually, because Kittle.
That's right. I did forget about Kittle's
Achilles injury. Out.
Yeah, so I forgot that he's probably not going to be there for the beginning of the year. Yeah.
Right. So this feels like someone who could come in and fill that role.
The thing with Achilles at this point is they're actually coming back quickly.
I know.
They're just not looking anything like themselves when they get back.
Yeah.
So,
and he's an angry player too. He blocks really hard. He runs really hard. I mean, it's going to be tough for him to come back fast. Ibuka top 12 if he wasn't already.
Where do I have Ibuka at this point?
He's got to be up there.
Top 12 right now.
You do or do not? Sorry.
Do not.
Okay.
Which I don't know. I don't want to be a flip flopper, but I was like massive on Ibuka last year as a rookie. Yep. One of my favorite picks. He was my 109, like forever. I had full count. He was one of my most drafted players, like in best ball for the 2025 season. It's got to be at least a little bit concerning what happened at the end of the year, right?
Yeah.
So
100%. I was just going to say, he tailed off so hard, even with Mike Evans being out most of the year.
Yeah. I know some people can look at it and say, like, yeah, you know, he got hurt in the middle of the year, and that was obviously still affecting him, and Baker Mayfield was, like, off target a lot. And it's like, yeah, but also, like, the ones that were on target, he wasn't really doing anything with them, you know? And then they stopped throwing him the ball. He stopped playing snaps, and it's like – that scares me a little bit. So,
and some of his good games were a little fluky. I think it was the Eagles game where he had like 2 ridiculously long touchdowns that were
and that was like his only 2 catches.
Yes,
yeah.
So even some of his good games at the beginning of the year were a little fluky. So I need to see more. I definitely wouldn't have him top 12.
So on Football Guys right now, he's 15. We can just
He's also 15 in DLF ADP right now.
So we can, let's see if we can get him to 12. Ibuka or McConkey? It's a tough one because McDaniel's there now. And I know Rocky hates McConkey, but he acknowledges McDaniel's coming.
Yeah, I think I would go McConkey. And McConkey has done it over a full year at least, even if I didn't love him.
Yeah, it's still McConkey. But boy, do I really have to think about it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Because after that is Pickens, and I think we'd all rather have Pickens than Ibuka right now.
I'd rather have Pickens.
And then it's Olave. So, yeah, he's probably 15 and not moving. Because behind him is Rice, Higgins, Flowers, Adunze. I'd rather have him over all those guys. But
yeah, I was going to say, I was about to name some of those players. Like, that's where I think the conversation is.
Mm-hmm.
Not Rice, though, for me.
Yeah, Rice might not play football again. We'll see how that goes. Yeah. Last one, Rashid Shaheed extended by the Seahawks. This was talked about how it wasn't going to happen. I don't think there's a ton to add here, but it was a big enough deal to just say, this is fine. Let's. I'm happy he stayed. Let's hope Cooter Doodle gets a bunch of jerseys and we can move on.
I hope they use him more now.
Yeah,
he's really good.
Yeah. Does that kill Torrey Horton hype for you?
Does, which is unfortunate. I was definitely Torrey Horton stan. I've drafted a lot of Torrey Horton. It was really nice to see him, you know, playing well to start the season for the injury. But yeah, I mean, he's clearly, unless they move on from Cooper Kupp for whatever reason and that he becomes their wide receiver three again. I mean, yeah.
Okay. Isaiah Likely to the Giants on a 3-year $40 million deal. This felt like one of the bigger deals today. And Dynastud's question is, what should Likely owners realistically be asking for in return after he got his bag from New York Giants? So he's saying if he was going to sell Likely, what should he ask for back? It's not a first. I don't care if it's tight end premium. No. It's not a first.
These are always so awkward with tight ends because there's a clear tier of like tight ends where you can pay a first or more for it. And then there's like a whole bunch of tight ends where you're like, I don't know, maybe a second in season, depending on how they're doing. Mm-hmm. And with all of those tight ends, which I think Likely is one of those where it's like, yeah, if this is going well, I wouldn't mind paying a second in season to get that production. When it's not in season and I don't know that the production is going to be like that for sure, I'm just like, I don't know if you want to take a shot on him, tear down from another tight end to get to him. If you want to sell him, try to use him to go like, I don't know, can you get Mason Taylor and something for Isaiah Likely right now? Like that. If I'm selling him, that's what I'm going to try and do. I'm going to try and like find someone, another one of the tight ends who could be in the same situation and get a bonus on top.
Yeah, I do think Likely is a little intriguing, but I'm not paying a ton for him either. But you were talking, I think it was you in the Cool Kids Club chat. Somebody brought it up about Theo Johnson. Like, we're sad because, but I mean, given what we saw out of Theo Johnson last year, we weren't expecting a lot. If Dart improves, especially too. Again, it's going to be a whole new system, all that stuff, blah, blah, blah. But but I do think Likely is interesting. He's certainly not going to be a focal point, especially if BTJ ends up there. But I think he could have some nice production if, you know, again, if Dart can improve in his second year, which I think he can. But again, I totally agree. I'm not definitely not paying a first. It would probably, I agree actually with what Wyatt said, more so than even a second and more the same thing we were saying earlier, just including him in another deal, tier up, tier down, multiplayer deal, something like that. Just, I like that idea better than just giving up straight bit draft pick for him.
Yeah, I agree with you both. It's probably a tier up, tier down scenario. I'm not entirely sure we should just be throwing Likely in the top 12, by the way. Like, I understand he had a couple. No, I know that, but people are already doing that. And, like,
agree.
Let's calm down. We have Sadiq coming. We have, you know, some people coming back from injury, like Laporta. Let's pump the – and Kraft. Let's pump the brakes for a second. I think Warren got better today. Tyler Warren got better with Pittman leaving. So and I saw Dalton Kincaid's name, and I just wanted to circle back to DJ for a second. Don't throw Shakir in the garbage yet. Shakir he has a good relationship with Josh Allen, and I know a lot of people are going to say he's not going to get his volume and all that stuff. I think he's going to get plenty of volume, so don't just throw him in the trash and give him away for nothing just yet.
I, I think it's going to get similar to what he's been getting, because DJ Moore should just mean you can just stop with all the crap.
Like, right. You can take the Keon Coleman and the Gabe Davis and put it in a big pile and give it to DJ Moore.
Yeah. I mean, I think that's like the easiest thing to do to project when these types of moves happen. It's like, yeah, well, all the bad players don't have to see the ball anymore. Like, we can just get rid of that type of stuff, you know? Right. Rational coaching doesn't always happen. In fact, it probably doesn't happen as much as it should. But I will always operate under that, where it's like the less talented players will see the ball less when things like this happen. There's still, like, it doesn't really affect Shakir. It affects all those other people first before it ever affects him.
Agreed. Yeah. So yeah, don't just give him away for a third yet. Hold on to him for a little while longer. I threw Cade Otton in the major stuff just because of the Evans news. I like it. Like, I think he's probably the same, if not a little better, but it's not anything major. It's probably more minor, but I just put him in major given how much money he got.
A little bump. I was intrigued on buying Otton a little bit with him being a free agent, because I thought they might let him go because, like, they have no need for the weapon, just like in general. Like, they could just put anyone at tight end in a way. Just be competent as, like, a blocker, and you're fine, because they have enough weapons. They're not short there.
Right.
So I thought maybe there was a chance he'd walk in free agency to somewhere where he'd have a better role. Maybe this is an indictment on him by the NFL, where they're just like, we don't really care. You can.
Yeah. All right. Let's just do the minor stuff kind of fast, and we can do them in kind of chunks. Geno Smith and Mixon both cut by their teams. Mariota back to the Commanders on a 1-year deal. Love that move, by the way. Mariota, you should keep doing that. Jane Daniels is not always going to be healthy.
Yeah.
Falcons signed John Dotson to go with Zacchaeus. Raiders signed Jalen Naylor, 3 years, $35 million. We should circle back to that one. Kendrick Bourne, 2-year, $11 million deal with the Cardinals. So let's take that clump. Why anything jump off the page? I thought Naylor was actually a decent deal today of you know, $11 million a year for Jalen Naylor.
He was getting a little buzz going into free agency, like his name was getting tossed around. I think it's because he's one of these wide receivers who can play a role on a team to, you know, take a top off of defense, right? And teams care about that. And that's why he's getting $35 million, which is crazy, because like, that is top end running back money. For fantasy, it doesn't really do anything for me. I think he is getting that money because he's going to serve a specific role for the Raiders. And because that was kind of Trey Tucker in a way, but that's not really exactly what he should be doing.
RIP Trey Tucker.
I think Trey Tucker's still going to have a role. It's just like he should not be the one being sent deep every time. So I think that's going to be Naylor now. Yeah. Especially because Dante Thornton did not work out.
Yeah.
The only reason it's interesting to me at all is because they have nothing at wide receiver pretty much. So
let's see how that comes out of the draft with that, because I can see them getting
Sir I'm sure they will.
Or Cooper or someone like that.
Added there. Yeah.
Yeah. Born to the Cardinals is not uninteresting, just because it adds another mouth to feed there, but I don't know. The Falcons are just throwing
depth wide receiver for an NFL team. He occasionally pops up maybe once or twice a year, you know?
Yep. With a 35-point game out of nowhere. Yeah. The Falcons are throwing stuff at a wall and seeing what sticks with Dotson and Zacchaeus. So I hope it works for them.
Another team that just needs some depth.
Yeah. And then there was about a million tight end signings, so I'll just rip through all of them. Bellinger, as Wyatt said, 3-year, $24 million. Higbee back to the Rams on a 2-year deal. He continues to ruin our lives as Ferguson and Parkinson owners. Adam Trautman, 3-year extension with the Broncos. I just don't get that. Schultz back to the Texans on a 1-year deal. Charlie Kohler to the Chargers on a 3-year deal. We should touch on that because that was weird. Fant to the Saints on a 2-year deal. And Kelsey, after his stupid media thing of like, I don't know if I'm going back to the Chiefs, I might go somewhere else. Shut up. he went back to the Chiefs. So any takeaways? Wyatt, I thought Kohler was interesting because he's played a role in Baltimore, and his brother clearly whispered in his ear about something. So
he was the best blocking tight end available in free agency, which is why he got paid, because in today's NFL, especially, that is something that they want to do. This is something that Mike McDaniel has done, and basically it just frees up Aronda Getz and to be that full pass catching tight end.
Yep.
And Charlie Kohler can play in line. Mm-hmm. It's really simple schematic thing for the Chargers.
He's just going to replace whatever Conklin was last year. Yeah. I feel like
Conklin Disley, that Yeah, do well.
R.I.P. Big Montana, if you're a footballer. Another thing on the Chargers, Alec Ingold. I know it's a fullback. I know. But it's McDaniel's guy, and it's one of the better fullbacks in the league. Like, I could absolutely see Ingold stealing some Hampton stuff on the goal line, which is going to drive everybody bananas. But I could
It matters schematically because this is going to pull a wide receiver off the field. This is what McDaniel was doing in Miami. It's probably part of the reason why we hear Quentin Johnson rumors about possibly being traded, because they don't need as much wide receiver depth anymore.
Yeah,
that's what this is going to do, because he plays with a fullback. McDaniel does in his offense, and that has to pull a wide receiver off the field, basically a pass catcher at a minimum off the field.
100%. It's also just good business. If you can sell Johnson on the back of that last year and bring back Keenan Allen for $1 million or whatever he keeps coming back for, absolutely. So that's just good moving.
Let Trey Harris, pick up where Quentin Johnson left off.
Yeah.
Bada bing, bada boom.
And then I said there's lots of defensive moves. We can talk about that another time. For example, the Chiefs secondary got absolutely destroyed today. and Crosby went to Baltimore. Burrow has to play TJ Watt, Miles Garrett, and Max Crosby 6 times a year.
Isn't that nice?
Get an offensive line, Cincinnati, please. He's going to die. So at the 1:14 mark, we finished the news.
Well, Roman had a question.
Oh, yes. Yeah, sorry. Where does Dubs go? And you know it will be somewhere where they then draft a high rookie wide receiver.
He could be the Eagles wide receiver too. Oh,
don't tease me like when that. When AJ Brown gets traded.
Not biased at all.
Yeah. I'm trying.
His landing spots kind of got taken, and now there's reports that Denver's looking at him, which was really interesting.
I did hear that one. Yeah.
I'm like, I don't know.
That would suck.
Why? I don't really get that one. I don't think
for real though. I was talking about this someone today. If they do trade AJ Brown, who the hell else is catching the ball in for the Eagles?
Goddard's Dotson just left.
Coming back. Yeah, Dotson left.
They're in on Njoku. It sounded
heard. I've heard that. Yeah, there's been talk here about.
You still need more.
You still need wide receivers.
Maybe this is a draft where they. Well. Howie, ever since Jalen Reagor decided that he only trades for wide receivers, right?
Yeah.
so I don't know.
I don't think Dubs would go to the Chargers.
Honestly, the Jets. He might need to go back to the Packers.
The Jets, maybe. That would suck, but maybe.
I could
He see just lost his Pittsburgh move, spot. That AD made all the sense Garrett in the world.
Hey, yeah. We were just talking about AJ Brown. He could go to the Patriots. We always like to put wide receivers on the Patriots.
That's not enough, though. I need higher on the Patriots.
Honestly, Buccaneers make some sense.
Buccaneers does make some sense. A lot of sense, actually. But it doesn't look like they're willing to pay wide receivers anymore. So, Minnesota? Probably not. You have to get rid of Addison to do that. Which they might. Kind of a knucklehead.
They may want to.
Yeah, he's kind of a knucklehead. Baltimore. I've heard they're talking about trading Bateman and stuff like that. Yeah. There's a lot of places, Roman. And he says, watch Fant have a mini breakout season to hurt my Johnson shares. Yeah, probably. all right. So we normally have the guest decide, but there's only one trade. So we're going to jump to trades. TradeX leads your 12-team Superflex PPR tight end premium with 1.75 per time reception, 0.05 per return yard, and we go to TA6. David Montgomery for Romeo Dubs and the 201.
I've been thinking about this one a lot.
It's a tough one.
It is a really tough one. The best piece, I think, without a doubt, is David Montgomery, who I think is going to have a very large role for the Texans this year. I think he's going to score very highly. I'm not projecting this, but would it surprise anybody if he's bordering on RB1 territory at the end of the season?
Because yes, it would
scoring wise,
Yes. Because I don't think his line's good enough. That would surprise me.
Fair enough. I'll give that to you. Yeah. But just an amount of opportunities, he's going to be in a conversation to possibly do that for the Texans. Because I don't think Woody Marks is any good. He's a good pass catcher, we think. But we didn't even get to show us if he could do that in the NFL last year. So I don't know. But I ended up coming out on Dobbs and the 201 just a little bit. The 201, I think, isn't that far off from David Montgomery, because I think that's at the point where we get into that wall of running backs where who's your RB2, you know?
Right.
We'll see who's there. It's possible we get a couple decent landing spots with some of them where we could be a little bit interested. And I think Dobbs is a player who is a solid depth. I'll say my own caveat would be is if this was like a start nine league, I think I'd rather have David Montgomery. If this is a league where we're starting more positions, I'm definitely leaning the Dobbs 201 side, because there are leagues where Dobbs is borderline cuttable, because how often are you actually putting them in your lineup?
Rocky, I never remember how many is TA. It's start 10, right?
Start 10, yeah. One of each position, six flex.
And when I say borderline cuttable for Romeo Dobbs, I don't mean you should actually cut him. I mean that as in you should probably just trade him for what you can get, because you're never going to start him. So he's a roster clogger. Do something else with that roster position.
Yeah.
I agree. This one's tough. I think that the volume, I think you guys kind of said this when you were talking about, I think the volume is going to be offset by the fact that the offense might not be that great, dependent on Stroud and all that. So I think for that reason, and especially given his age anyway, I lean like Wyatt said, I think the 201 is already about what you're paying, should be paying for David Montgomery. So it's basically a free Dobbs to me. So, I lean that side, but I personally don't love either side.
I'm with you on that part. I know we have to do this in a vacuum. It depends if you need a running back or not. I would do this for David Montgomery if I needed an RB two or three, but
Russ would always say you don't, nobody needs an RB two or three in March.
I know.
Which is correct.
I know it's his thing. I get it. But like, and I've been staring at the team since we stopped discussing Dobbs. I think Ravens and Philly are kind of my two dream spots. Maybe New York Giants, if they don't get BTJ, I could see him being the Robin to neighbors.
Is Slayton still under contract?
Yes, unfortunately.
Yeah, I was about to say, I think they signed him to a couple years.
Like a three-year extension last year. Just made no sense. And Bolton Dable just loved him. They should trade for him. Get him out of my life. I think he's... another one could be Washington for Dubs. But they're kind of heavy. They got McLaurin. Oh, they don't have Debo anymore, so maybe.
But you don't mind having McLaurin play off the line.
Yeah.
So it's fine. Just because McLaurin is known as like a downfield threat, which gets associated a lot with like what Dobbs' position on the field normally is. Like, yeah. I think those two can still pair up fine, because McLaurin can do more than that.
Very quickly in offensive line news, the Commanders did re-sign Tunsil. So Daniels has his protection for another year or a couple years. So they're the other team in on Jeremiah Love. Would you rather have, all right, let's do this really quickly. Would you rather have Jeremiah Love on the Giants, the Commanders, or the Titans?
The Commanders. Most fun.
Yeah, I think so too.
Pretty easily. Definitely not the Giants. I think that's terrible. I don't get
him
it
away
at all.
From Scatterbo.
Like you have a cheap, solid running back room already. Like, this is what team building is all about. You have like no money invested into there, and you have
literally
better than average production from your back.
Yeah.
You should keep that. Yeah. Titans, debatably the same thing. Like, you already have average running back production. Like,
I'd call it that between the two of them.
Yeah, between Pollard and Spears, like, or even just like, I don't know, not bottom 10 running back production in the NFL for cheap. Like, you should always just keep that. And especially when you're not playing on competing for a Super Bowl. It'd be different if they were like already ready to compete for a Super Bowl and they're like, we just want this is the best player in the draft. We want the hammer. Like, let's do it. But neither of these teams are compete for a Super Bowl next year. Commanders makes a ton of sense.
Yeah, Love would be the least collateral damage on the Commanders. He'd hurt Bill, and I'm sorry, Bill, but it's time to that was fun for a year, but we can move on to better running backs now.
Yeah.
Okay. Dynastead's questions. Are there any good landing spots left for Juwan Jennings owners to hope for? I am devastated San Francisco went with Evans because that seemed like his best spot. What would you buy or sell for Juwan given the remaining options? I think you could put Juwan Jennings in the same dang pile as Dubs, right? Like, you can go to a lot of places, but he's not going to be good in any of them. Like,
I kind of like Jennings even more than Dubs just because I think he can do a little bit more. Mm-hmm. He's maybe not as good of an X as Dubs is.
Yeah.
But Jennings is a little bit more versatile than Dubs. So he actually fits like just any team looking for wide receiver help. I think he'd be mm-hmm. fine with. Legitimately, because he can play across the formation.
The Eagles when AJ Brown gets traded.
Yeah, literally.
I was just honestly, would be a great spot.
Yeah.
Can you imagine after all this hype with the Patriots, they leave the offseason with Juwan Jennings and Romeo Doubs as the two wide receivers? Boston would riot if that is what happened instead
pretty
of
pretty smart
Brown
for them.
And, yeah. No, I know, but after the AJ Brown and the Pickens and the Pierce and all that stuff, they leave with Juwan Jennings and
because it's also been reported that the Patriots like are actively trying to trade for AJ Brown, right?
Like, yeah, and apparently the Eagles are being really annoying about it. They're like trying to get two firsts for him and all that other stuff. Like, it's
good for Howie.
Yeah, right. Good for Howie.
Shut up, Howie.
Yeah, right. Young. Just take your dang first and second. You're gonna do well with them anyway. Get over it.
For real.
I'd be thrilled if we got one first.
Yeah, right. Yeah,
exactly. Which I'm sure the Patriots are.
Which
right.
will be 31, and yeah.
I think they just did. They only pay a first when they got him.
I can't remember. I think they only gave him 18.
Yes, they traded their 16th pick.
18.
Yeah, 18. 18.
Okay.
He said, "What are the best remaining fantasy landing spots, and who do you want to fill them?" Oh God, I don't know.
we should the second wide receiver on, before we put them on
here. The second wide receiver on the Ravens. Is one because that is in the air. I mean, the New England Patriots.
Best remaining spots is a good question.
The third wide receiver in Tampa. Because to answer one of his other questions, like who are the biggest tangential winners? I think Godwin was a huge winner today. But like they need a third.
I think in terms of landing spots, especially if Daniels bounces back, the Commanders
the
running
commander's
back.
Guy. Oh, the Commanders running back. Okay.
Yeah. I think they could. They need to upgrade at running back, and I need Daniels to you know bounce back, and so the offense as a whole is better. Basically, is what I was saying.
The Saints could be a Dobbs Jennings team.
Yep.
It seems pretty good, and what is a. Saints wide receiver two could be a good spot.
Everyone's mocking them, Tyson and
kind
of those first round guys.
What you do when you find a QB, right? You just start loading up on offense as much as you can.
Trying to look at who else is playing running back to fill Rocky's thing because I feel like the Commanders are just going to draft people.
Chiefs wide receiver for when Rice can't play football.
Yeah, a thing just came across my timeline that they're bringing Thornton back, which sure, why not?
He was their best wide receiver last year.
I don't know. I mean, there's no one that really screams leading the Commanders in carries on here. Like, oh, here's one. The Montgomery role in Detroit. That needs to be filled by somebody. I know Gibbs is great. They're not going to give the ball to Gibbs 30 times a game. They just can't do that. Like, they have
plenty
to find
around. They run so many plays that there is just room for another running back.
They need someone else.
Big role.
Someone said Brian Robinson should take that role, and that's all I wanted since I've heard that. So that
makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I wanted it to be Algier, but it's not because he went to the worst backfield in football. Rashad White is still out there. He could be. I don't think he's leading a backfield, though. I think he's like going to fill Etienne's role in Jacksonville or something like that. Or going, I said the other place for White was Aaron Jones's role in Minnesota or something like that. Like somewhere
that can. That makes split. A lot of sense. I like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I think the Commanders are probably drafting someone. Let's hope it's Love. And that's kind of the main spots. There's a lot of wide receiver two positions available. We'll see how they get filled out. But we can move on. Who are the biggest tangential winners of free agency so far, i.e. guys who we thought were getting competition brought in but haven't yet, and how secure do you feel in them with more waves of free agency in the draft still to come? I said Godwin was big. I think he's probably the wide receiver too, and it's probably a better wide receiver too than he was.
You could say Bashel Tootin.
for now.
That's what I was thinking.
But yeah. I'm not comfy with it because he's saying, how comfortable are you with him taking out, like, not getting hit? And I'm not comfy yet.
We touched on that a good bit earlier.
Here's a weird one. Jacobs, the Packers haven't done anything at running back yet. And
yeah,
like, they haven't brought in, I'm sure they're going to draft someone, and Marshawn Lloyd is perpetually right. questionable. So Jacobs is one. All Dolphins, I will say, because until 24 hours ago, Ewers was starting for them in 2026, in my opinion. So all Dolphins, Achan, Waddle. I saw they brought Dulcich back. That didn't even make my news sheet.
I think he's the only tight end on the roster
currently. Yeah, probably until like Max Clair goes there in the third, which is going to piss me off. But it's just they've put like Sadiq on that too. Don't do that. Stop. Like, put Sadiq in better places. Who else tangentially won?
We're all winners for the Browns not signing anybody.
He says this Browns fan, ladies and gentlemen.
It's a waste. This is what I want. I want them to suck.
Can Josh Allen be a winner? Or is he just, he's number one. He's not a winner. It's his best wide receiver he's had since Diggs.
Yeah. I mean, I guess slightly. But were we ever going to, you know, it's one of those things like, are things better? Sure. But
yeah, he's not coming off a one, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. They were already good.
That's probably, obviously Burden and Rome are the biggest ones, but any others that you guys can see? I'm just staring at teams and saying it.
Did we say Genty?
No, that's a good one though. Linderbaum. And, they signed someone else today too.
Yeah. They're making a ton of moves, which,
and they're in on Decker from the Lions to be their left tackle too. So, I mean, yeah. That line could be ridiculous. So, yeah, no, it's a good call. Is Genty top five?
Yes.
Ooh, wow. I'm happy about that. That's good. I got some Genty shares.
No doubts. I think everything you look at shows that he's incredibly talented if you isolate to what he can do for himself.
Yeah.
And the Raiders and the Nepo baby offensive line coach, you know, ruined their season. Whereas now everything's looking up. Yeah. So I still think he's incredibly talented.
I'm still scared of Kubiak bringing in someone else because he said he doesn't want to give like a bunch of carries to Genty all season. So I'm still scared of that.
They need depth, right?
He'll get the critical carries to your point. Like, so
yeah.
Just trying to think who else could have won today. I mean, there was a ton of winners. Like, let's just say it that way. I think Cam Ward was a winner today. He got better wide receivers.
Mm-hmm.
Tangential. So it's not Ken Walker. He's like, I think Ken Walker's the biggest winner of the day.
Yeah.
Purdy? Are you happier with Purdy now than you were at the beginning of the day?
I think I was always going to be happy with Purdy.
Yeah.
I think that's one of those, like, Shanahan will find a way. Yeah. Whoever's out there that he's throwing passes to, it's going to work out just fine. Cardinals pass catchers.
Yeah, that's a good one. Because regardless, they have a slinger. Like, because Minshew's not afraid to throw it 50 times.
Yeah.
Yep. So, can it just be Minshew? That's more fun. I know Brissett did okay last year, and I know they're tanking and all this other stuff. Can it just be Minshew's more fun? It's like Jameis 2.0. So let's just do it that way. Yeah, I think Tootin, obviously, for now, as you said. You could make a case for literally everybody, so we can move on to the next one. Was looking at 2025 final standings in one of my leagues, and three teams didn't use 90% of their fab budget. I'm one of those people. If you were the inactive type who can't pay that much attention to fab, what would you ask for in return for your fab? Like, what kind of pick for what percentage of fab? So, Tyler does a lot of this stuff. He tries to add fab to trades. So, Wyatt, do you trade fab ever? And if so, what value do you put on it?
It's almost always been a joke. If it's been, I've given someone fab because I accepted a trade of theirs that they didn't mean to, or like, you know, or something like that, or like I've done it in reverse where someone, like I read a trade wrong, accepted mm-hmm. it, and was like, oh, I'm sorry, like I read that backwards. I apologize. You don't have to take it back, but I'm just letting you know, which I think you should always do. You should don't make a stink. It's if you know, but anyways, like, and if they do, it's like, here's 10 fab. Thank you.
Yeah.
For being a nice person. Yeah. But I don't like that calculus is not in my brain for fab to picks. I don't even know. It definitely depends on how deep the league is. Because what's even like, I guess just try to equate it to what you can routinely get on the wire. I imagine more often than not, like 100% of your fab is worth like the 402 or something
Cause you get that chance to get that guy before.
Yeah, most leagues I play in, there just isn't stuff on the wire that's really valuable. You're just taking shots on people, or a few injuries happen. You're like, I have a 2 week fill in that I'm hoping to get 9 points per game from, you know? So,
yeah.
Yeah, I've never done that, I don't think. But
the only time I can think of you doing it, Rocky, is like the draft bus league where you like actually trade salary back and forth. Yeah, but like that's different. That's not fab.
And I would not trade a pick for fab myself, but I think I wouldn't expect to get more than a fourth back or give up more than a fourth for it if you're interested in doing that either way.
Yeah. The only time I ever really like unloaded fab was like I knew I had like a full budget. It was like the last week, and I just like threw it all on Sam Darnold when he was like the backup for the Niners, and then that ended up working out. But like, I can't think of a time where, to Wyatt's point, where like 30 man rosters, there's no like free agents sitting there. Like that's a redraft thing as fab. So,
and I often ignore mine and. What I end up doing is the 1 or 2 weeks a year I do pay attention to waivers. I just way overspend on whoever I bid on.
Which, by the way, is weeks 1 and 2 because Rocky loses focus after that. All right. I don't know what to tell you. All right. You just got to figure that out. And I wouldn't trade your fat boy. I got an out of the blue offer to give away Taj Brooks for the 305. Took it, but got me thinking, what random players would you be targeting in exchange for late picks? LaQuint Allen is my number one answer to this.
I can take that.
That might have been ruined today, but that would have been my answer.
The one that kind of came to mind right away was Keaton Mitchell.
Yes.
I don't know.
He didn't get tendered today.
Yeah.
Interesting.
I don't know. You know, just whenever he's gotten the ball, he's been pretty electric. So if he actually goes somewhere where, maybe, you know, just
go join Johnny in New York. Go be Scatabo's backup. That'd be fun.
Yeah. But honestly, at this time, we're at a point in fantasy where, like, there aren't a lot of under the radar players. It's really hard to say, oh, what's a player I can target with my fourth round pick that's like has a chance? Like, brother, I don't know what to tell you. You know, like there just aren't a lot of those players that people aren't already aware of. Yeah. So it's really tough. Maybe Jack Besh, just because like I thought his prospect profile was a little interesting coming into the NFL, but he showed like nothing as a rookie. But like, there's no depth there really. So like, he still kind of has an opportunity. But he's also one of these wide receivers, or again, it's like. He might just be a wasted roster spot if he doesn't break out. So
Io Manor, maybe.
I like that one.
Yeah, if you think he's gonna be the 2 or the 3. Is Booty still on the Patriots?
He
I
is.
I think so. That's my knowledge. Just throw a third at, just you know. Although this is the problem, and like I tell people this, I don't do these types of trades where I don't throw a third for Darnell Mooney. I don't do this type of stuff.
I used to try and do this, and honestly, just like it's such a low percentage bet that even if you think you know better and you do know better, the prize is just not really worth the risk more often than not.
Yeah.
There's a reason why these players are attainable for a third or fourth round pick, right? Like they have a lot to overcome to matter.
Yeah.
I'm just trying to think if there's any others, but probably not. And we're at an hour and a half, so we can wrap up. That's the end of our show sheet. So that's going to be the end of our show. Thank you, Wyatt, for putting in the time with us tonight. It's good to finally have you on the show. Hopefully we'll do it again. But before we head out, why don't you remind everyone who you are, what you do, and where they can find what you do.
Really appreciate you having me. This was a lot of fun. Love being the guest for free agency tampering period because, like you said, it's one of the best days of the football role. Calendar. Yeah, so it was awesome. If anybody out there wants to follow me, you can do so on Twitter, YFB_FF. I have a link tree in my Twitter profile. You can find any of my work through that. So, yeah, thank you for having me.
Our stuff, patreon.com/TreyXPod. You can watch while we record. We also have our Discord chat, the Cool Kids Club. We will be back on normal schedule next week. I know it's been kind of all over the place. We've been trying to align with some of our guests so we can get some different people on. So we'll be back on Tuesdays next week. I don't remember who our guest is next week. I think it's Matt Price. Fantasy Cares is the most important thing. Their bracket challenge went live today. Scott Fish posted that, so go check his Twitter for that. Hootenanny's back on Thursday night. Zach and J Mike have done a great job thus far. There's trivia on Tuesday nights, and of course there's the Wednesday night hangout, which is always a fun time. And as Rich Fisher always told us, if you have a trading problem, you're never alone. Good night, everybody.
Night, Frank.
Thank you for listening to the Trade Addict Podcast, a member of the DLF family of podcasts, and a proud member in the Dynasty Addict Podcast Network. Please follow your hosts at Dynasty and at Dynasty FF Addict. Please subscribe, rate, and review. We will catch you next time on the Trade Addict Podcast. Poopy Pants.
That is the best.
See ya.